So thank God that we can now have a testimony session so that some of our students, participants here at the MVP, they want to share the grace of God and some of their experiences with God. We have four today, Brother Ian, Sister Michelle, Brother Sam, and Sister Priscilla. And
hallelujah, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I'll testify about my Southeast Asian missionary trip earlier this year in March. So because of time constraints, I'll go with the condensed mode. So the background was basically there was this huge break in between my military discharge and my official school date. This is 8 months. So when I met preacher Wanfa Chen, he's mentioned about he needs the interpretations and music education personnel in Philippines and Cambodia. So I took it as like an opportunity to repay the blessings and grace of God, because he has really helped me so much throughout my academic career and in the U.S. Okay. And basically for the volunteer workers, you just pay for everything. You have to the country you're visiting are also very poor, so if there's anything you can do for them, it's also very, very good as well. So when we arrive Manila, we use Manila Church as the base, and then we go to Chinatown every day. And then you probably have heard, before you go, you always have Bible study and pray, be ready. So we do that as well. And then we'll get up early at around 7 o'clock, and then have like a 30-minute prayer session and a Bible study and breakfast, and then we'll head out. So this is Manila Church, is what it looks like. Okay. And then it's a chapel. And then all the electronic devices you see, these are all donated by previous volunteer workers, actually. This is my room. We have a lot of chickens right outside the window, so I never wake up late. I wake up too early, though. This is what it looks like from inside out. For the gate is narrow, it's exactly what it says right here. Okay, this is Preacher Peter. He's the resident pastor in Manila Church. And this is his wife, and this is a theological student that was there. And because there's a lack of resource, right? So a lot of people they want to practice, playing piano, playing hymns, but then they don't have the money to buy the hymn books. So instead, they will write down the simplified notes themselves, and then practice on their own. And of course, if they don't have the piano at home, they'll draw it themselves and then kind of just practice it on their own. So we're pretty blessed if we even have electronic pianos, right? And it is their service end, right after their service end. The Taiwan way is, of course, you stand up and say hallelujah to each other. And then their way is actually stand up and actually shake each other's hand. Okay. And it is in Chinatown. And Chinatown is a very chaotic place. In Chinatown, you have horse wagons on the street. You also have the tricycles. Tricycles is this is a little cart on the side, and then they have if it's a bicycle carrying the cart, it's called tricycle. If it's a motorcycle carrying the cart, it's called tricycle. And this one is a tricycle. And then money that floods, even if it's just, when it's tropical areas, like when it rains really heavily. So it will flood like 10 some minutes later, and then you have to put your feet up when you're in a tricycle. Yeah. And this is a jeepney. It's kind of like your local bus, kind of like, it's very, you can see there's no door because that means welcome to hop in anytime. There's also, you can see there's no back door either, and there's a lot of handles in the back. So that's actually literally how people do it. They just hop in, and then when you hop in, and then you just like kind of pass the money all the way to the driver. The driver can somehow manage to drive and give you the change at the same time. And then passengers will like gradually pass the change back to the last person. When it gets full, then you have people dangling outside the door right here. So it's very... very interesting, yeah. And the traffic jam is so bad most of the time, so you don't have to worry about going too fast and then people fall off. It's not a very safe place. There's a lot of armed security. Basically, you would probably expect this kind of security guard standing in front of a Chinese grocery store, pretty much. It's not even in front of a bank. Usually, it's a very intense feeling place. Like if you see a residential area with like tall walls, barbed wire, surveillance tower, armed securities, then you know this family is probably pretty rich. But you're looking at just a family residential house. You're not looking at a barrack or something. It's just very heavily guarded. Yeah. And these are the, when we go preach, we actually just we'll go into a Chinese restaurant, and then we'll go find strangers to approach. This is one of the elders we preach on the street. Because Preacher Chen speaks Chinese mainly, and I interpret to Chinese to English, depending on the situation. Yeah, and when we preach, we actually we all have like flying experience, right? So we also start off with a very brief conversation, and then we introduce with like when we hear their kind of responses, and then we kind of introduce the you know the Chinese profound philosophies or you know those Chinese proverbs and stuff like that. And then we mesmerize them with all these profound words, and then we introduce the gospel into it. It's usually pretty smooth. And at the end of the conversation, we usually get contact information, home addresses. Email is rare because you usually end up getting phone numbers. So, and then we'll like call them up the next couple of days, and then schedule the follow-ups. And then sometimes we'll go visit their workplace or their house to have additional Bible study or prayer together. A brief example is Mr. Shi, here, right here, and this is Preacher Chen. We first met in a Chinese restaurant, basically, and then after we talked to him, and then we actually ended up going to a cafe together, and then we talked even more. Where in the cafe, we also met the owner of the cafe, and then we all sit down, and then we just talked for like 3-4 hours, very quality talk, and then just keep sharing about the gospels and stuff, and then also tell them like how prayer and then praying in the Holy Spirit, as well as the power of baptism can wash away sins. So with quality talks like that, you can really actually establish a very decent friendship in a few hours, and then you can visit them pretty frankly. And also we'll go to a previous truth seeker's house, and then we'll pray for them. Pray for their minister's ill mother, and of course, and when there comes with Filipinos, then we'll have the translation going on, and then also share and pray with them, and also visit church brothers and sisters, of course. Okay, moving on. Sorry, kind of have to rush it through. Okay, so and then for Cambodia. Pretty much the same, similar things. Cambodia is not a very safe environment either, comparing to Philippines. It's pretty corrupted as well. I'll continue to see. This is the airport we landed, and this thing is called tuk-tuk. It's one of the main transportation. Basically, it's like you have to negotiate a price with the rider first, and then you tell them where to go, and then they'll take you to your location. This is what traffic looks like in Cambodia. I mean, you think California drivers are bad? I think they're very ungentle. This is things like this. We'll have an SUV in U.S. For a family bonding time, they'll have just a scooter in Cambodia. Yep, very intense traffic, and I don't know, KFC delivery maybe. So this is a Cambodia church prayer house. This is a tall building here. Yeah. It's a front door, yeah. It's my room. Cambodia is pretty hot. When I arrived, it was 39 Celsius, and with the humidity of Taiwan. I don't convert really well, but 39 Celsius. Just think about it, it's like Phoenix weather plus Taiwan humidity. So I couldn't really fall asleep for the first 3 days. I was actually, I sweat myself awake at night. And actually, really thank God is when I experienced the love of preachers, because I hear them. Because I turn on the lights, right? I try to like take a shower and stuff like that in the middle of the night, and I hear them hear Preacher Chen praying for me, hoping that I can fall asleep smoothly. So really thank God. This is the chapel, and then we also visit a lot of the truth seekers as well. There's only 20 some members in Cambodia church right now, and then but there's a lot of truth seekers. But then usually you have to visit them frequent enough so that they will come to church on the Sabbath day. And then yeah, just also go to. Usually the best time is like we go there for like lunch, and then we'll just talk to them, and then introduce the gospels. This is how you drink that tea. Do not have time to kind of share that. Okay, yeah. And then also visit a lot of the members. And then Cambodian police is a very interesting governmental agents. This is why I say Cambodia is quite corrupted, because they can stop you for no reason just to ask you for money. There was this one time Preacher Chen and I were driving, and then we got pulled over by the police, and then we didn't do anything wrong either. We didn't speed, we didn't run the red light, but then they actually just stopped us and then try to ask us for the driver's license. We provided, and they're like, this is not valid and stuff like that. And then when we spent like 10, 20 minutes with them, they kind of got impatient, and they just kind of like talked to us directly. It's like, money, money, 钱, 钱. And then they wanted 5 years daughters for bribery. And then we wouldn't give in to them. And then eventually, I don't know why Preacher Chen has that kind of courage, but then Preacher Chen walked out. And then I tell him in a very poor Cambodia language, like, I love Cambodia. I haven't been here for 7 years. And then the police end up giving me a discount, a 50% off. So we only have to pay 2.5 USD to that police. But yeah, that's kind of how corrupted it is. Sometimes if you see a red light that only has a green light that only has 5 seconds left, don't run it either, because it will change directly to red light. And then they'll just pull you over, because they will tell you, you run the red light. Yeah. And then after Sabbath service, then we'll usually go down to the remote area and then preach to the local college students. There's a gassing up. Yeah. And Cambodia buildings usually rise up really tall. Yeah. And then this is as we walk through, like, it's like imagine when this cow is getting away, right? This is some of the food I didn't have the courage to take. I was weak in faith. Yeah. And then So on the way driving there, it usually takes about 2 hours of drive. And then we'll drive there, and then we visit Truth Seekers on the way. Some of them,